So good together. Amen. Have your Bible, turn to Genesis 10 with me tonight. Genesis chapter number 10, verse 6. Genesis 10, 6. And the sons of Ham, Cush and Mitzrayim, and Phut and Canaan. The sons of Cush, Seba, Havilah, and Sabta, Rama, Sabtika, and the sons of Rama, Sheba, and Dedan. And Cush begat Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom was from Babel, and Erech, and Akkad, and Calneh, in the land of Shinar. Father, bless your word tonight now. Lord, give me the wisdom I need, Heavenly Father, and the direction to teach it. And Father, may you bless it as they hear it. In thy name I pray, amen. You're going back now to the table of the nations I told you about in the book of Genesis, chapter number 10. What I mean by the table of the nations are the three sons of Ham, the three sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and where they went, where they migrated to after the flood. It calls your attention to, in verse number 8, Nimrod. Now, Nimrod's a very, very, very important figure here at this time. We're looking back at about probably 2,300 B.C. The flood took place, most figures, is about 2,345 B.C., somewhere in there. You may get a variation this way, though. Don't worry about it. Nobody can nail any date down that far back. But the flood took place about 2,345 B.C., and right after that, the scripture says that when Noah's ark landed on the mountains of Ararat, now it didn't say the mountain of Ararat, it said the mountains of Ararat. When it landed there, the scripture says that they migrated to the lands of Shinar. Shinar is in what's called now Babylon. It's literally the land between the rivers. It's Mesopotamia. It's called the cradle of civilization. For you have there the origins of everything that we have today after the flood. They came out of there. It is part of what's called the Fertile Crescent. The Fertile Crescent starts down in Babylon, goes across the north, a crescent. This is a crescent. Starts in Babylon here, goes across the north, and comes down into Israel. When Abram came out of Ur of the Chaldees, he came here. He went up to the top, Haran, stopped there. His father died, and he went on down into the land of Israel. Genesis 12, when he came into the land, the Bible said the Canaanite was already in the land. Now remember, it's very important to understand who's who and where they came from. Here in the book of Genesis, chapter number 10. You'll notice here in chapter number 11, the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. Now, you don't have to read much to find out that Babylonian cuneiform, they say, is the oldest form of writing known to man. Well, now here again, you have to take that with a grain of salt. But the Babylonian cuneiform does go back 2,300 or so B.C. You remember I told you about the unbroken record of the Chinese, 4,500 years. And it's remarkable. Now listen carefully. The Chinese talk about a flood. They talk about eight people coming through that flood. Eight people made it through that flood. The Babylonian cuneiforms talk about a man named Gilgamesh. And Gilgamesh came through a flood. And this is located in the same place that Abraham came from. Now, this is there in the cradle of civilization. This is where all the languages of the earth came from. Because it says in Genesis 11, they were of one language and one speech. It helps you understand how that later on, all of these different gods had different names, but they're really talking about the same God. And the reason they have so many different names is because they named them after their language. But they're still talking about the same gods, the same pagan gods. Genesis chapter 11 and verse number 2, it says, it came to pass as they journeyed from the east, they found a plain, the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Said one to another, go to now, let us build brick, make brick, and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for mortar and slime. They had brick for stone and slime they had for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Note carefully verse 5. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. Note carefully the next verse. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they all have one language, and this they began to do. Now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. That's a strong thing. Go home and meditate on that. That's a powerful statement. It indicates that the original man, Adam, had unbelievable powers of intellect and powers of physical ability. You see people today who are able to recall every day of their life. Some, and there's only a handful in the whole world, but they've been put to the test. It's unbelievable of their memory to recall every day of their life. I can't imagine that. That just boggles my mind. Then a four-year-old girl can understand 7 different languages. 4 years old. Young men can sit down at a piano and they can play Beethoven, having never been given any lessons in music whatsoever. These are exceptional things, but not only just exceptional, it shows you what a human being is capable of doing. Because when God made Adam, he made him perfect. Made him perfect. And he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and that breath that Adam is one of the things that made him in the image of God. That breath that Adam breathed, not the breath of a cow, not the breath of a dog, but the breath of Adam was the breath that God breathed into his nostrils, and he became a living soul. They come through the flood. Now, you know good and well that something as traumatic as a flood is going to affect people, don't you know? I mean, it's going to have a profound effect, a universal flood that covers the earth. But you notice something else about this, though. The Bible says back in the book of Genesis before the flood that a canopy was upon the earth, and that it had never rained. It was kind of like a hothouse environment, and it moderated. The temperature moderated all over the earth, and it is a fact that Antarctica has foliage. It has plants and so forth buried beneath the ice. That the only way it could be there is for the temperature of the earth to have been completely different at that time. And so this reason I'm telling you that is that there's a number of people that believe, and I probably agree with them, that before the flood there wasn't too much ability to look up into the heavens and see the stars because of this canopy that covered them. So after the flood, the first thing you know, men are looking up into the heavens, and lo and behold, you have this vast array of stars. That's quite a thing, don't you think? It's quite a thing. And notice how that it works in with what we're doing here. Look at Genesis chapter number 11. They're building a tower to where? The heavens. The heavens. As you study throughout the Bible, you'll find that the pagan is dismayed with the signs of the heavens. He doesn't understand them. The book of Job, which goes back to about 1900 BC, talks about Mazareth and Orion and Pleiades and the constellations of the heavens. And this is where men are focusing their attention on the heavens. And that's what's going on here in Genesis chapter number 11. And the reason they're doing this is because they have lost the meaning and understanding of the true and living God. This is why Nimrod is able to rise to power like he did. He drove the Shemite out of Babylon, and he, being a Hamite, comes in there and he builds the cities of Babylon and Calneh and all the rest of them, Akkad. And you read about them in the book of Genesis. So what you have here is the divine record that Moses is giving us. He's telling us that one displaces another, and then this whole culture grows up, and it is a huge culture, and it grows up under the one man. And that one man is Nimrod. This makes him a type of the Antichrist. He's a type of the Antichrist in more than one way. Josephus and some of the old Targums, and these are ancient Jewish commentaries of the scripture, talk about Nimrod. And some of them say that he was a giant. And he was a giant. He was, you know, the scripture says he was a mighty man, a mighty hunter before the Lord. It doesn't necessarily mean he's hunting deer and wild boar. He may very well have been a hunter of the souls of men. I think that's what's going on here. He's going after the souls of men. Now, what knowledge did they have of God? When Noah went on that ark, he came from a genealogy. Every single one of them was given a prophecy about who was coming. You remember Methuselah? When he is dead, it will be sent. You remember Enoch? He walked with God, and God took him for 300 years. He walked with the Lord, and at 365, he was gone from this earth. He's a type of the rapture of the church. Noah goes from the old world into the new world. He gets off of that ark, and they go down, and they begin to settle and build the new world. But every indication is that the truth of God somewhere got lost. And only a few had any truth of God. Job did. Job knew who the true and living God was. 1900 BC. But here's what God does. He reaches down right smack into the middle of Ur of the Chaldees. He goes right into the home country of Nimrod. He goes right smack dab in the middle of all of that. And he calls one man. And his name is Abram. He calls him from Ur of the Chaldees. And he calls him out of there. He separates him from them. The moment that God called Abram, Abram had to turn his back on those gods and follow the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. The scripture says that he left not knowing where he was going. He was simply being obedient unto the call of God. God called him from where he was. Now, it's a fascinating thing when you think of how they look into the stars, and you've got all of these constellations that they have names. Orion is the constellation of the giant. We have Nimrod, who is associated with the Titans, the Greek Titans. I told you about them, I think, Sunday morning in my message. Nimrod, therefore, is a giant associated with the fallen angels of Genesis chapter number 6. It goes all the way back before the flood, and then again after the flood. Giants were on the earth in those days. What you have now is a supernatural being. A being that is not fully like everybody else around. Because the angels that kept not their first estate in the book of Genesis and came to the daughters of men, what were born unto them? Giants. And you remember from the book of Isaiah chapter number 26 that I took you to Sunday. You remember that? Isaiah 26, I think it's verse 14, where it says, God visited and destroyed them. And that word destroyed literally means he didn't put them in hell. They ceased to exist. They do not exist. Now the angels that kept not their first estate, he has reserved them in Tartarus. They're in the lowest hell. That's where they are. Because the scripture says they left their habitation. They left their house. Not only did they leave their house, but they had to change something in the process of doing that so that they could come into the daughters of men. We have spirit beings impregnating human flesh. Now you say, well, preacher, that's absolutely unbelievable. I don't believe something like that could happen. How do you think Christ was born? The Holy Ghost is a spirit being, and he impregnated a human being. Did he not? Of course he did. And, well, the first place, you're a flesh, you're a human. Where did your life come from to begin with? It came from above. Amen. The Spirit gave us life. And when you're born again today, if you're born of the Spirit of God, you're born of the Holy Ghost. And if the Holy Ghost is not there, there's no new birth. You may be sincere, good religious person, good moral person, all that. That's all fine, but you're not born again without the Holy Ghost. You've got to have the Holy Spirit. So they're looking into the heavens. They're getting a message from the heavens. They're communicating with the heavens. Now, I don't know what exactly is going on here. You can get a lot of speculation. But this is what's going on in Genesis chapter number 11 when God intervenes. For he comes down and he sees them as they built these towers. Now, you can get in, you can read anything. You'll find a ziggurat. And a ziggurat over there, you'll find it in Iraq. A ziggurat is like a tower. It's something that built in layers to reaches up. You can also find them in South America. Ziggurats. And whether or not this was the Tower of Babel, we have no idea. But we do know this. We do know that there's far more going on here than simply building a structure. There was a reason for that structure. And they were communicating with that structure. And they were communicating with beings from above. Now, if this is a type of the Antichrist, and I believe he is, I believe the time is coming, and I believe we're there right now. where they're going to be communicating with beings from above. And they're already doing that. The federal government, piecemeal by piecemeal, they reveal certain things to people, and now they're telling people that they believe that there may very well be extraterrestrial beings. In other words, extraterrestrial simply means of another earth. Terra, Latin terra, means the earth. So extraterrestrial, from another place, from somewhere above. And they're telling people now that we believe that there may be something going on there. They're preparing you. Everything that happens in our lifetime is in preparation for one great deceptive moment. The Bible said in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, for this cause. What cause? Because they loved not the truth.
That's right. Amen.
But God sent them a strong delusion that they might be damned. Now, this is the way God judges. You have the truth, you receive the truth, you've been blessed and you've been saved. You've got the truth, you reject the truth, that's your condemnation. And God's a fair God. He's a just God. So here in the book of Genesis chapter number 11, they're dealing with the heavens. It didn't make you think it's amazing when God called Abram. What did he tell him to do in Genesis 15? He said, look where? Look up into the heavens. Remember that? He said, look up here. Look above you. All right, Abraham did. He said, now you go ahead and count them. Abraham said, no, Lord, you're messing with me. I mean, who can count? You can't even count them today.
No.
Count the stars. He said, well, I can't do that, Lord. But I believe what you, he said to him. He said, your seed will be as the stars of heaven, or as the sand of the seashore, referring to spiritual seed and the seed of the earth, the two separate branches that come from Abraham. But the whole point is this. God chose one man. That one man becomes the father of every last one of us tonight that believe. If it hadn't been for Abraham, where do we believe? Where would we be tonight? You notice that when he changed it, when he believed that, God added the fifth letter of the Hebrew alphabet, Aleph, Beth, Gimel, Daleth, Hey. And it was no longer Aram, it was Abraham. Abraham. It was no longer just father, that's what Abram is. It was high father. In other words, you're not just the father of your family and of your people around you. Now you become the father of everyone that believes. Every last soul on the face of this earth, if you ever have saving faith, your faith was laid down for you from Abraham. He believed God and God counted it to him for righteousness. But what makes it even greater is this. Abraham wasn't going to church over there in Ur of the Chaldees. He didn't have any prayer meetings over there in Ur of the Chaldees. He had no teaching priesthood over there. You know, there was none of that over there. No Bible, none of that. God spoke to him. It was kind of like when God spoke to Mary. Here's something that he'd never experienced before. He said, get thee up from thy kindred and from thy land and to a land that I will show thee. The only way that Abraham could receive the truth and keep the truth and live for God was to be separated from where he was. This is what he does for us today. Come out from among them and be ye separate. Let me tell you something. You don't have to do that. If you're born again, you will come out from among them. There are just certain things that come because of who you are. And if you truly know the Lord Jesus, bless his righteous name tonight, you will come out from among them. Because the Holy Ghost will do that for you. See, here's the thing. You're messed up. If you're a Christian, you've been flat messed up. And I'm going to tell you why. You've had the Holy Ghost bless you. You felt the power of the heavens on high. You know what it is to be born of the Spirit of God and walk in joy and have joy in your soul and walk in victory and thank God for it. And then when you turn your back on the Lord and you get out in the world, you're the most miserable creature on the face of the earth. You are. You are. If you've ever been born of the Spirit of God, you can't just turn around and walk away from God. I just disown God. You can't disown Him. Once, you know, the Old Testament was a type. He said, I've engraven you in the palm of my hand. I've sealed you with the Holy Ghost. That sealing keeps you and marks you. You belong to me. So why don't you just be easy on yourself? Really? I mean, what don't you? Do you like this butting your head against the wall? Just be easy on yourself and start living for God. And then you'll have the blessings of the Lord. Amen. And we're stubborn. Oh, we'll snub up, throw our rattler out on the floor and kick slats out of our crib, refuse our formula. We are. We can be a big baby, be full of ourselves and think about nothing but us. Me, me, my, I've been offended. I'm this, I'm blah, 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 blah. But the truth of the matter is, you know what that altar of God is. You know what it is, and you know what it is to know Him. Now, where did He get me and where did He get you? From Babylon. Say, where is Babylon? Walk through that door right there. You're right smack in the middle of it. That's where He called us from. He called us out of Babylon. Now, Ur of the Chaldees is part of the greater Babylon. It's part of the greater culture of Nimrod. He called us away from Nimrod. Which brings me to where we're headed. Because we're headed back to Nimrod. When I say we, I'm speaking in general terms to the earth. I'm not. Thank God I'm listening for a shout.
Amen.
I'm listening for a shout. But the earth is headed for Nimrod. You could preach a message on the second coming of Nimrod. And probably be pretty close with it. Because another one's going to show up just like him. Just like him. Now, I'm going to give you these elements as they come together, and I can't do all that tonight, but I think I've laid quite a bit of foundation for you. Folks, I've never been as excited about the second coming of Christ as I am now. And I'm going to tell you why. I see things coming together now that I've never seen before. And you know, I believe in earthquakes, and I believe in pestilences and diverse places. That's all good. But folks, there's a whole lot more going on with the second coming of Christ than simply shaking the earth. We need to be looking at that. We will. We will. There's some stuff going on. Bye, Babylon.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, He chose me. I'm choosing Him.
Amen.
Now, let me tell you something. Pontius Pilate, he was a procurator. He was a procurator. And he was a Roman procurator. Therefore, he's like a governor. That's essentially what he was. It was his responsibility to keep peace in the land. Keep peace. He didn't care about what they believed. He told them when they came choosing Christ, he said, get out of here. That's your stuff. Care anything about that. All he cared about was peace. Because that reflected directly on him. But when he took the man and he scourged him and he set him up there next to him, and that mob out there said, crucify him. He said, why should I crucify him? He hadn't done anything. Crucify him, they screamed. Then he said, I find no fault in him. Pilate, I'm going to stand right next to you. I'm going to stand right there with you. I find no fault in him. That's like the demons when they said, we know who thou art. Thou art the Holy One of God. Amen, demon. I agree with you. He's the Holy One of God. He is. Do you know that one tonight? Oh, that's the blessed, most blessed, sweetest thing in the world. Just lay your head down at night. And now I lay me down to sleep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take.
Yes.
My grandfather told me that prayer. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. And then my grandfather would pull the covers up over me. And I'd go to sleep. That was about 10 years old, 11 years old, 12 years old. That's good. That's the good stuff. Can you lay down tonight after you get home and just lay your head down and sleep like a baby? The Bible said, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. If you're eat up with tension and turmoil and you're just shaking and mad and sometimes you don't even wonder why you're snapping at everybody and you don't have, maybe there's something going on that shouldn't be going on, right? Why don't you just ask God to show you? Now listen carefully. The devil will beat you to death. He's the accuser of the brethren. He'll confuse you. If you try to get right with God and it's Satan working you over, he may let you pray one prayer, but he won't show you the real problem. He won't show you the real problem. Take it to the Lord and get down before God and say as David said. You remember what he prayed? He said, Lord, if there be any wicked way in me, show me. That was a good prayer, folks. God knows me better than I know me. Right? And he knows your heart better than you know your heart. So all I'm trying to say tonight is if you really want to have fellowship with the Lord and walk with the Lord, let the Lord show you what you need. And he will. He's good God. He loves us all. He's not willing that any should perish. He doesn't want anybody to go to hell. I don't either. I heard the call. Goodbye, Goodbye, Babylon. Waiting for him to come. Father, in thy name I pray. Bless your righteous name, sweet Holy One. I feel you in my soul tonight. And I love you and I bless you. My life's in your hands, Lord. I'll live through this night and wake up tomorrow and I'll be breathing because you did it. You did it. You kept me. You gave me life. You gave me existence. You gave me a calling. You gave me a purpose. You gave me a precious wife and a family. Lord, man, what more can I ask from you? You've been good to me. And I praise your righteous name. And if you're in here tonight and God's been good to you, why don't you tell him? Lord, you've been good to me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Bless his name. Thank you. I'm going to pray right here in a second. Anybody want me to pray for you? Anybody? God bless you. Now, hands up everywhere. God bless you. Now, see, I'm interceding. I'm not coming between you and God. Can't do that. That's blasphemy. But I'll intercede. In other words, I'll pray on your behalf. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for every precious soul in this house. Lord, I don't have to know all the needs. I don't need to know all of that. Wouldn't know what to do anyway. But I pray for them, and I bring them before thee tonight in Jesus' righteous, sweet, blessed, holy name. He paid the price and paid it fully at the cross at Calvary. And we rejoice in him. We rejoice in him alone. He's the only one. We rejoice in the Son of God. Now, Father, lift up the souls of these dear people. They've raised up their hand tonight. God, let light flood into their hearts. Give them that peace of mind and draw them by thy Holy Ghost into a closer relationship with you. My Heavenly Father, you can draw them closer to you than they can ever draw themselves closer to you. And I pray that you begin that work in their heart. And then they put down and they declare peace with God and stop fighting you and stop working against you. But just say, I surrender and come on to the Lord. In thy name I pray, and for Jesus' sake I ask it. Amen. God bless his name. Hallelujah. Amen. Born again and I know it. I'm not any better than anybody, but I know what it is to be saved. All right. Anybody have prayer requests tonight?